is it? I want to start off by saying that you don't know what time it is. And I want to take it a step further. Don't think that in my saying that you don't know what time it is, that I'm getting ready to tell you what time it is, because I don't know what time it is either. We watch the news, and it seems to us from our side of the TV and from the camera side that the world's gone crazy. And that what used to be wrong is right, and what used to be right is wrong, and we can't make a decision about much of anything. And, you know, and I don't want to make any political statements here because, you know, I tell you, Washington, it's not the answer. And Washington is so corrupt from the top to the bottom that it wouldn't make any difference who was in there. The whole thing needs to be just cleaned out like a Roto-Rooter and redone again. Because we are so far off from where we need to be as a country and as a people and as a church and as a world. But you know what? You know how much sleep I lose over that? Absolutely none. Because although from our perspective things may look chaotic, Jesus is in control. Amen. There is a plan. There's a master plan. And that master plan is being worked out, and we are all puppets in the puppeteer's hand. No matter how big someone may think they are on the world stage, no matter how much money they may seem to have, I tell you what, Warren Buffett's money does not control God. If he went broke tomorrow, there might be a lot of people who that would affect, but it wouldn't affect Jesus whatsoever. And so we are all puppets being controlled by the master puppeteer who is bringing his plan to fruition and fulfillment in our lives. And when you stop and you think about it and we ask ourselves the question, what time is it? We don't know what time it is. Because Jesus is working things out, and to us it may look like a lot of confusion, but to Him it is not a confusion. Along the same lines of us not knowing what time it is, I grabbed this away from Martha before she had a chance to put it up. We also don't know how desperate we are. And for anybody in the room that said, I'm not desperate, then you've just got all of Jesus you're going to get. And there was a whole lot more you just walked away from. We have no idea how desperate we are. We have no idea how really lost we are. And so, because we don't know what time it is, and because we don't know how desperate we are, and because we don't know how lost we are, we need to hold on to what we do know, and we do know that Jesus is Lord. You know, I just remembered, and some of you have heard me say this before, and I apologize for repeating myself, but I love to tell this because every time I say it, people look at me like I've lost my mind. But if you're ever riding home one night and a spaceship lands in the road in front of you and a Martian or any kind of space alien gets off of that spaceship and walks up to your car, let me tell you what to say. You look them square in the eye and this is what you say. You ready?
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord. Because wherever they're from, He's Lord there too. Because there's not anywhere He's not Lord. There's not anywhere He's not there. And so I don't worry about riding down the road late at night on some backcountry road and seeing lights. Doesn't make any difference if they were lights from Mars or lights from somewhere we don't even know anything about, or whether or not they're just my mind playing tricks on me. Doesn't make a bit of difference, because if I run into something that I don't know what it is, all I got to say is, Jesus is Lord, and they'll recognize that because He's the name that is above all names. And it is at the name of Jesus, I don't even know how I got started on this, but it is at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow. I promise you that. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Today, I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Okay. You can go ahead and close the Ephesians and let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you put your mark at Ecclesia, at what'd I say? Ephesians, go ahead and pull your bookmarker back out. Today, though, I do want to talk about what time is it. And not that I'm going to tell you what time it is, because I don't know what time it is. But I want to talk about time. And really what I want to talk about is I want to talk about being in a hurry. Because I'm going to tell you something. In my life, I'm in a hurry. And I'll bet in the lives of most people in this room, we're in a hurry. We are running here and running there. And probably if I'd be willing to bet if we took a poll, every one of us in this room, we all say, I wish I had more time. I don't know what happens to my time. Time seems to get away from me. We all have this thing where we feel like we are not in control of time. And you know why that is? Because we are not in control of time. And so because we are not in control of time, and because we are so hurried, maybe if we can't capture and keep time, and if we can't make more time, maybe we can figure out how to better manage the time that we do have. Actually, while you were turning to Ecclesiastes, I don't know why I look at that word and see Ephesians every time. I was going to tell you, talking about time, it's always good to be ready when something happens in time that was unexpected, don't you think? So if your boss ever catches you asleep at your desk, it'd be good to be ready for that situation to happen without already having an excuse ready. So if your boss ever catches you asleep at the desk, you can just always blurt out, you know, they told me at the blood bank this might happen. You could say this is just a 15-minute power nap like the one they raved about at the time management course you sent me to. I'm testing the keyboard for drool resistance. Now here's one I wouldn't use, especially if your boss catches you sleeping at the desk. I'm in management training program. I did like this one, though. This is in exchange for the 6 hours last night when I dreamed about being at work. Darn! Why did you interrupt me? I had almost figured out the solution to our biggest problem. The coffee machine must be broken. Somebody must have put decaf in the wrong pot. Here's your good one. Boy, that cold medicine I took last night just won't wear off. Here's you one, Anna. When Frank catches you sleeping, I wasn't sleeping. I was trying to pick up my contact lens without my hands. Last but not least, the best one. Gosh, I thought you were gone for the day. Time. Does anybody really?
People running everywhere. Don't know where to go. Don't know where I am. Can't see past the next step. Don't have time to think past the last thought. Have no time to look around. Just run around and never think why.
I love those horns. Look at the desperation in these words. How many of you know that song, Chicago? Anybody know what time it is? Pretty lady walked up to me with her set of diamond watch. It stopped cold dead. People running everywhere, don't know where to go, don't know where I am, can't see past the next step, don't have time to think past the last mile, have no time to look around, just running around, and thinking, why am I running around?
Verse 1, there's an opportune time to do things. There's an opportune time to do things. A right time for everything that's on earth. A right time for birth and another for death. A right time to plant and another to reap. A right time to kill and another heal. A right time to destroy and another to contract, to construct. A right time to cry and another to laugh. A right time to lament and another to cheer. A right time to make love and another to abstain. A right time to embrace and another to part. A right time to search and another to count your losses. A right time to hold on and another to let go. A right time to rip out and another to mend. A right time to shut up and another to speak up. A right time to love and another to hate. A right time to wage war and another to make peace. Verse 9, but in the end, does it really make a difference what anyone does? I've had a good look at what God has given to us, busy work mostly, Solomon said. True, God made everything beautiful in and of itself and in its time, but He left us in the dark so we can never know what God's up to, whether He's coming or whether He's going. I've decided that there's nothing better to do than to go ahead and have a good time and get the most out of life. That is, eat, drink, and make the most of your job. It's God's gift. I've also concluded that whatever God does, that's the way it's going to be. Always. No addition, no subtraction. God's done it, and that's it. That's so we'll quit asking questions and simply worship in holy fear. That's so we'll quit asking questions and simply worship in holy fear. Whatever was is, whatever will be is, that's how it is, always, with God. I tried to download that video you sent me of this week, Eden, but I couldn't get it to download off the computer. I'd love to have been able to show that great video that you sent me. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Without time management, we'll soon find we don't have anything to manage at all. Andy Stanley, who is Charles Stanley's son, wrote a book that was entitled Choosing to Cheat. And this is what he said. Andy Stanley said, it sounds bad, but it's true. We all must choose to cheat. With only 24 hours in each day, we can't do everything. We think we can give 100% to our families, 100% to our jobs, 100% to our hobbies, and 100% to leisure, but that's 400%. And it can't be done. Anytime we set a priority, we have said that something else in that moment is less important. Anytime we say yes to something, we've also said no to something else. It's a fact of life. We have to choose to cheat. The key is learning when and where to cheat. James Dobson said, think for a moment of the most worthless, unnecessary purchase you've made in the most recent years. Perhaps it was an electric shaver that now sits in a garage or an article of clothing that's never been worn. It's important to realize that this item was not purchased with money. It was bought with your time, which you traded for money. In effect, you swapped a certain portion of your allotted days on earth for that piece of junk that now clutters your house. It's an interesting thought from Dr. James Dawson, isn't it? You know, most of the frustration that we feel in our lives, we feel because we feel overloaded with responsibilities at home or responsibilities at work or school or church or maybe even a combination of all those things. It seems to us that the clock is our enemy because whenever we're wanting it to stop, it just keeps right on ticking. When we want it to rewind, it still just continues to move forward. I've often wondered, where is all the time my time-saving devices was supposed to give me? But the truth of the matter is that with all of the diversity that is in this room, one thing that all of us have in common is we all have the same amount of time. If you live to see tomorrow, you will have had 24 hours today. I remember being so frustrated by my dad when I was coming up and I'd say something about being too busy to get something done, and he would look me in the eye and he'd say, son,
You have the same 24 hours in a day as men who do great things. And what he was saying to me was, it's a matter of where you're spending your time. It's a matter of what you're doing with your time. Last week, we ended the message with talking about that one of the things that, one of the reasons why we would want to trade our lives for discipleship with Christ is because in trading our time, in trading our lives for discipleship to Christ, we are investing our lives in something that is eternal, in something that has value, in something that will last forever. Time is moving away from us. And you know, the thing is that before any of us were born, how much time you're going to have has already been predetermined. I mean, the girl I told you about this morning who's dying from lung cancer, she's less than 30 years old, has a brand new baby, and has never smoked a day in her life. Because most of the time when you hear the word lung cancer, you think of yourself as someone who smokes. This young girl has never smoked. She's not overweight. Dying lung cancer. Now, did God know that when she was born? Did she know that when she was born? Because we have an allotted amount of time, which is always why it bothers me when I hear the words, they died prematurely. How do you do that? Or before your time. I'm like, you know, and those are words we hear and we go, yes, isn't it sad? But stop and think about what you just heard. How can we die before our time? How can we die prematurely when we're going to die has already been predestined? And so how much time you're going to have is not up to you. What is up to you and what is up to me is what are we going to do with the time that we have? Are we going to invest our time in something that has value? Or are we going to invest our time in something that has no value? So this morning I want to share with you 5 things that I think will add value to our time. Number 1 is we need to learn how to set priorities. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first. Help me preach it, Hassan. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, it's funny. Sometimes I'll be sitting in interviews and I'll ask people about what are their priorities. Oh, it's God and my family and then my job and, you know, and we've all got our little pat answers as to what our priorities are, but how many of us actually live out our priorities? See, we say to others what it is we think they want to hear, and we say to ourselves what it is we want to believe. But the question is do we really live out what it is we say and what it is we really want to live? And most of us do not. Most of us do not. But without priorities, how many of you know that without priorities, lots of things will get in your, lots of insignificant things will get in the way of significant things. Mike and I came up here Friday, and on the way up here we stopped and we had lunch together. And from the moment he got in the car, my phone was ringing. And it just rang and rang and rang and rang. And some of it valid stuff and some of it stupid stuff. And I mean, just one thing after another. We were sitting there having lunch and I said to Mike, I said, you know, I bet there's a lot of people who wonder how I juggle all the balls and keep spinning all the plates that I do and that I'm not just plumb crazy. Then I paused. I said, you know what? I might be crazy. I might be crazy on a plane of crazy that I don't even realize is crazy because it's the craziness is normal to me. Don't seem crazy to me because this is how I live. My phone rings all the time. I have thousands of stupid questions. questions that come my way. I have some good questions, but I have some, you know. And it might be that my normal is actually very abnormal. I just don't know that it's abnormal because it's normal for me. If we're going to be able to manage our time, we got to make first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You see, I was in a, and I won't tell you who this was with, I was in a marriage counseling session about 3 weeks ago. And this guy was talking about being a workaholic and having to work and I got to make the ends meet and I don't have time. He didn't say he didn't have time for his wife. What he said was, I didn't have as much time as I'd like for my wife and for my child because I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to do the other things or it's not going to all get done. It's okay. I understand all that. So now here's the problem with your thinking. What you're saying is you're saying, God, I want to set my priorities wrong and then I want to work really hard and I want you to set my life right. And God says, sorry, got my hands off that. So what I'm telling you is this, set your priorities right and work hard and God will work with you. But don't tell God, I'm going to break all the rules because I feel all this pressure to have to do things. And yet I want things to be right, so I'll break all the rules and you correct everything. Said, no, if you want God to step in and make things work for you or allow things to work for you, then you cooperate with God. Because it's never right to do right. Because God won't help us in our iniquity. He'll help us out of our iniquity, but He won't help us with our iniquity. If we're going to be able to manage time in our lives, we're first of all going to have to learn how to set priorities. Number two. Our number one priority, once we set it, should be in building relationships. In Matthew chapter 22, we read where Jesus said, where Jesus was asked what the Great Commission was or what is the greatest commandment. And Jesus said, if you're going to spend your time wisely, this is wise use of your time. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the best use of our time. The best use of our time, Jesus says, is split between two things. You got to love God, seek ye first the kingdom, that should be our priority. And then love others. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I will have to admit now, we moved into this new house and the city gave us this recycling bin. Now me, I'm a little snobbish about not using the recycling bin. I think it's a, don't anybody jump, okay? I think it's a waste of time. I know that this particular mindset's not popular in our day and age. Yes, exactly. But the way I figure, what damage can we do? Jesus is going to come back, burn it all up and set it right. So, you know, what difference does it really make in the end, the way I look at it? But anyway, my wife, a little different, you know, so she takes this recycling bin, she sets it out on a little porch out there, and I come home and there's plastic bottles in it. And there's newspapers in it. And I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. So really more out of cooperation with her than being a card-carrying Greenpeace member, I started throwing the paper in there and throwing plastic bottles in there. And I actually feel sort of good about doing that. Okay? So I made a step. All righty? But thank you very much. But I still believe Jesus is going to come back and burn it all up and it won't make no difference in the end. Yeah, but Anna said, but until he does, let's try to take care of things. Okay, all right, well, that's fine. Let's make it all clean and pretty so when it's on fire, it will burn pretty. Maybe it burns better if it's green. I don't know. The point being that there's nothing on this earth that's going to last but me and you. That's why Jesus said, love God, He's eternal. And love your neighbor because they're eternal. That's why if we're going to be able to manage our time, we're going to have to set the right priorities. But the first two priorities is to remember to build relationships. As I mentioned to you last week, when you start a relationship, that relationship never ends. There is no end to any relationship you've ever been in.
I've been in relationships that have ended.
No, they changed. But they didn't end. Those relationships changed, but they never ended. Because you can now look back and say, I used to be in a relationship with, or I used to have a relationship with. And so it may have ended, or it may have changed, but it didn't end because you still remember it. It's still a part of who and what you are. That's on the positive side. Of course, you know, on the negative side, this is why you need to be careful about the relationships that you develop.
So you won't have to remember that.
So because when you understand that in relationships you develop, that they're never going to end, you'll be a lot more careful about the relationships you develop. Because how many of you have had relationships in your life you wish hadn't changed, had just ended? You wish they hadn't changed. You wish they had just simply ended. Okay? But you see, the reason why they don't end, they just change, is because people are eternal. You're eternal. God's eternal. So if we're going to make good use of our time, we've got to set priorities, and our priorities are going to have to be in first, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and secondly, in our relationship with each other. Anybody else? Anybody got a comment, question? Before I show you number three. If we're going to learn how to manage our time, we're going to have to take time to plan. Now, please hear me, ladies and gentlemen. You do not have to be as obsessive compulsive as I am. Okay? Okay, yes. You do not have to be as obsessive compulsive as I am. I spend my entire life planning. Okay? I finish breakfast. Yes. Is Luke up there? Okay. Well, we're not at Luke yet. It's supposed to be 21:5. Doesn't have Proverbs what on the sheet? Okay. Then under number three, take time to plan. Proverbs 21:5. Let me read that to you. The plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit, but anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor. Let me read it to you out of the Message. Listen to this out of the Message. You ready? Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Now, having said that, you don't have to be as obsessive compulsive as I am. I spend every waking moment of my life trying to figure out how to do things more efficiently and more effectively and quicker. I spend most of the words that come out of my mouth are, why can't anybody put anything back where they got it from?
Thank you.
because when I plan this whole thing out and I put something down, then when I want it to be right where it was I left it. And if you want to come and use it, that's fine. But when you finish using it, put it back where you got it from. I spent all day yesterday out in this little building that I'm trying to clean out so I can move some stuff into it, cleaning and moving stuff around and readjusting it. And I'm going to tell you something. In that little 10x10, I can tell you where everything in there is. Yep. And now I'm going to hide the key from Anna and Michelle. And Trip. Because at least that Anna and Michelle used it to still be at the house, but if Trip used it to be at his house. I'm not asking you to swing your pendulum all the way my way. What I'm asking is for my pendulum to come a little more in the middle, and for some of you, for your pendulum to come to the middle, because there are some people who just enjoy the adrenaline rush of flying by the seat of their pants. They will not plan not 1 second in advance. And then they wonder why they are constantly running here and running there and running here and running there. If you fail to plan, what you have done is you have planned to fail. Now, I will grant you that I used to be a Norman Vincent Peale disciple, you know, and I realized that we can't go that far either. Because God brought the children of Israel out into the wilderness, and then He didn't lay out a 40-year plan. He laid out a one-day plan. In fact, He only laid out one plan. This was the plan. When the cloud stops, you stop. When the cloud moves, you move. But He didn't lay out the next 7 days, the next 30 days, the next 2 years, where they were going to be. What He said was, today I'm going to give you your daily bread. We'll let tomorrow take care of itself. Okay? But there are some people who, thinking ahead, planning ahead, is just so foreign. And according to Proverbs 21:5, let me read to you out of the Message again. According to Proverbs 21:5, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. But run here, run there, puts you further and further behind. Do you realize that not one of you, not one of you is here today from lack of planning? Because there's not a person in this room who didn't plan to be here. Because if you didn't plan to be here, you wouldn't be here. And so if we're going to get somewhere, if we're going to do something, if we're going to accomplish certain things in our lives, there has to be a certain amount of planning. All righty? Number 4. Take time to organize. Once again, you do not have to be as obsessive compulsive as I am. Yeah, let me see what I got. Oh, and I also left off number 5. And aren't there 5? I was too hurried. This is a great illustration. This is actually a very great illustration. Okay, number 1, set priorities. Number 2 is build relationships. Number 3, take time to plan. Number 4, that's what happened. I missed 4 altogether. Because number 4 should be take time to organize. Isn't that what I got there? Yeah. And then, learn to be is actually number 5. When I get to it, it's going to be number 5. So that's what happened. So the take time to plan is actually Proverbs 21:5. See, I'm not even going to make an excuse. Yeah, well, I had an elders meeting at 8:30 this morning, so I came over here on Friday and to print all these off. And because I was in a hurry, I didn't double check it. Okay. So number 3, it's take time to plan. And the reference is Proverbs 21:5. Then number 4 is actually going to be number 5. Because number 4 is take time to organize, Luke 15. And in Luke 15 is where we find the account of the woman who lost the coin in her house, and she turned the house all upside down trying to find it. Now, sometimes we can lose things and still be organized, okay? But lots of times we waste a tremendous amount of time looking for something because we are so disorganized. Now, once again, you don't have to be as obsessive compulsive as I am. Anna, I'll tell you, I got this power strip that's up under my desk. And each plug-in that's plugged into the power strip has a tag on it that tells me what's on the other end of the power strip. And you think to yourself, that's crazy. Why would you do such a thing? Because if I need to unplug my lamp, I don't want to unplug everything to find the lamp. I just look at the little tag that says lamp, I unplug the lamp, and I'm done.
That's smart.
Thank you. Yeah. I've had that offer before to help people out with their organization. Yeah, I thought it was pretty smart. It's just one of those little white, you get them at the office supply house, the little white ring things that has the metal around the edge and you can write in the middle. And every tag in my house, every plug-in in my house, unless you can obviously see it, has one of those little rings on it so that if I need to unplug something, I'll have to unplug everything to figure out what it is. It's driving me crazy that in this new house we're living in, we have 2 fuse boxes and the fuses are not marked.
That bothers me.
It is crazy. So I'm gonna get them. So it's not gonna be long. I'm gonna be out there with a Sharpie, and I'm gonna have Anna in one end of the house and Michelle in the other end. I'm gonna flip a breaker and holler, "Who went in the dark?" So that we can mark it. You know what I'm saying? You do need that. See? But, so I'm not saying you gotta be as crazy as I am. Okay? But the other side of that is that we lose a lot of precious time just simply being disorganized. Like looking for the remote control, which in order to solve that problem, what did we do, Anna? We got three of them in the den. So now there's three of them in there, so we know where one is. Yeah, there's one. Yes, ma'am. I've heard that 1,000 times in my life. Why is there always never enough time to do it right, but always enough time to have to do it over? And I'll tell you, those words haunt me many a time in my life. I'll get in a hurry about something and I'll think to myself, if I don't slow down and do this right now, I am going to have to come back and do it over again. And I will catch myself hearing the voice crying in the wilderness. That sounds just like my mother. One of the things I am endeavoring to train myself in is when I'm working in the yard to do one project before I move on to the other one. Because what will happen, the way I've spent most of my life is, I'll get started early on Saturday morning doing something in the yard. I'll be doing this, and then I'll be doing that. And then I'll be doing this, and I'll be doing that. And then at the end of the day, I am so tired I can't put one foot in front of the other. I look back over my shoulder, I got 6 things started and nothing done. And I am consciously working at the idea. Do this one thing. When you get it done, then do something else. So that I can now finish. Yesterday, worked out in the yard all day yesterday. And now I can look back at my yesterday and I got things actually finished and done. Stick a fork in it, it's done. But many times, this precious thing that we call time, that is only allotted a certain amount of for you and I, we lose a lot of it through the cracks of being disorganized. And let me tell you something. The ability to organize may be a gift, okay? But we need to understand that organization is also a discipline. Thank you very much. It's a discipline. And what I find out of most disorganized people is that it's not that they lack the gift, they lack the discipline. Okay. Draw a line right here. All right. Draw a line right there with that question. And let Don answer that question. Okay. I don't believe that there's anything that any of us lack. That if we need it, that the cross won't give it to us if we're willing to pay the price to have it. See, that's why I accept no excuses out of myself and I accept no excuses out of you. Well, I just can't help it. No, you just don't want to help it. Well, I'm just not that disciplined. You don't want to be that disciplined. Because if we need it in our lives, Calvary provided it for us. No matter what it is. Not only did Calvary provide for us the blood atonement to wash away our sins, Calvary provided for us the power to live successfully and rightfully in this world. It's called the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. And we can have an excuse-less life. It's just that we prefer our excuses because they're so much easier. If any man lack anything, let him ask of God, and God will give it to you liberally. And every time I ever hear anybody say, I just give you a little warning, okay? Hey, anytime I hear somebody say to me, I just couldn't help it, or I'm just made that way. Well, be remade. I mean, how simple an answer is that? It's what Calvary's all about. Calvary's all about a renewing of our minds. changing our hearts, making us what we're not into what it is we need to be. Now, granted, I'm not going to ask Anna to come down to my weight bench and bench press 100 pounds like I do. Okay? Not with him to be on it. Okay? But see, that's not important in life, whether she can bench press 100 pounds. That's not important. Okay? But when we live a life, and this is why I feel so passionately about this, when we live a life that is so much less than what Jesus died for us to have, I believe we insult the cross. That's what I believe. And that's why I challenge myself at the levels I challenge myself at. That's why I don't let myself say, no, you can't. Because I don't know how much, I don't know how much Jesus died for me to have, but I want all that Jesus died for me to have. Not so that I have it, but because I don't want His sacrifice to go to waste. You see, let's remember what's important here. What's important here is not you and not me. What's important here is not time. What's important here is that Jesus died that you and I might have time, because I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you another similarity every one of us in this room have. You ready? We've all got an enemy who, if he could take your time, you'd be gone. Because he come but for to steal and to destroy. And if he could take every bit of time you got, he'd take it. But you know why you still have time this morning? Because Jesus said on Calvary's cross you could have it. And what we do is we throw dirt up on the cross. We muddy up His blood when we abuse our time and when we sell ourselves excuses. Well, I've always been. Well, my mama was like that. Well, bless your mama's heart. Be better than your mama. Exactly. And I ain't my mama. My parents were close to perfect, but not perfect. But I want to learn the parts that were good and change the parts I think weren't good, because I want to be all that Jesus intended for me to be. But basically, because we don't know how desperate we are, we don't know how lost we are, and because we don't know what time it is, we are all a lazy bunch. So I'm standing in the store last night. No, night before last, when I ran into the girl from the apartments. Night before last. And I spoke to this girl. I used to live next door when we lived that year in the apartments. And I spoke to her, and she looked at me, and she looked at me, and she said, "My gosh, I didn't even know who you were." She said, "How much weight have you lost?" And then what did she say next? "I wish I could do that." See, those are the words I don't want to hear. What, am I some superhuman weight loss machine?
Yes. No.
Thank you, Jim. Not true. I just made different decisions. I made different choices. Now, I will grant you, that I did them because God hit my priority button. When I come down there where you are, will you be able to keep up with me? And my answer was no. And if you asked me today, could you keep up with him now? My answer is probably no. Because it wasn't about losing weight. It was about preparing myself in my spirit for the move that I believe that God is about to make in the earth. And more especially the move that I believe that God is preparing Don for, the move God wants to do through Don. But you see, I was telling somebody this week, I've lost weight and gained weight my whole life, but I've always lost it. I've never lost the weight to gain the weight. I always lost the weight to go back to eating. And the consequence of eating was gaining weight. But when Jesus spoke to me
and said, I died for a higher purpose than all that. Then I said, bring the treadmill on. I'll drink them funny drinks in the morning. I'll eat those bars that taste like cardboard. You know, it's because Michelle and I went by in Target last night. We walked by one of those racks with all the little cup bars in them. You know, she says, you still eating that stuff? I said, no. She said, I thought you liked it. No, I never liked it. Who likes eating a piece of cardboard? I don't like it, but I'm willing to do. Paul said, I will buffet my body and make my body do what it is the Holy Spirit wants for my body to do. And so it's not a matter of being born with an organized gene. It's a matter of being willing to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit to be organized. It's not a matter of being born with a priority gene. It's a matter of being disciplined enough by the power of the Holy Spirit in me to set priorities. It's not that one person is born with great time management skills and another person is born without. It's a matter of what we apply ourselves to. And what we apply ourselves to is what we are good at. And there's nobody in this room better at lifting a fork than I am. I promise you. But I had to apply myself to a different discipline. Sorry about that. Not really sorry about that, but because I want you to know where my heart is. My heart is to challenge myself and to challenge you. Thank you. All right, moving on. Time to organize. Number five. We're number five now? Okay. Yes, Jackie?
I hear the topic of time to organize. I find that we have more time today to get something
else. Okay. Exactly. In fact, when
so my scrambled up way of thinking, I find that to get my mind scrambled up a little bit ahead, because right now I have the time, and tomorrow morning at 5:09, I need to fly out there.
You won't have the time. Exactly. Tripp and I ride to church together, and he comes to my house, and I get in the car with him. Okay, when he arrived at my house this morning, I walked out, hit the unlock on the car door, and opened up the door, and everything I needed to bring to church was sitting in the seat of my car. The only thing I carried out the door, and I had, six bags of stuff. I had groceries to give to Devin, and I had an exchange that Michelle needs me to make on the way home, and I had my bag that I carry all my papers in, and I had my drink. The only thing I carried out the door was the shirt. That I keep on the hanger till I actually get ready to put my shirt on. Everything else. Oh, we had, with Michelle's radiation, she couldn't eat with silverware because she could taste the silver in the silverware. So she had to eat with plastic utensils. So we had a ton of knives, forks, and spoons. I had all that in the car, all in one spot, all outside, all ready to go because I got more time yesterday than I've got today. And when Tripp pulled up in the yard and texted me and said, are you ready? And I walked out the door, I was ready. Up in the door, and Tripp's walking up to me, here, carry this, son. And we're putting stuff in the back of the car to get it ready because if we'll organize, we'll have better, we won't have more time. We need to eliminate that out of our heads. You're not going to get more time. But you'll be less frustrated and make better use of the time that you have. Correct. Especially on Sundays when the devil's trying to trip you up. Exactly. Okay, number five. You ready for number five? Number one, set priorities. Number two, build relationships. Number three, plan. Number four, organize. Number five, learn. Notice the word is learn to be flexible. with my tongue firmly planted next to my cheek, I would like to say that Jesus may have missed a really good opportunity for a beatitude concerning this point. He might should have said, blessed are the flexible, for they are not easily broken. In James chapter 4, we read, and now I have a word for you who brazenly announce that today, at the latest tomorrow, we're off to such and such a city for the year. We're going to start a business and we're going to make a lot of money. Writing, James wrote and said, you don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You're nothing but a wisp of fog catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. Instead, make it a habit to say, if the Master wills it and we're alive, we'll do this or that. How many times have we heard people say, well, Lord willing, I'll come over there tomorrow? Okay. That comes from this particular text right here, where people understand that I can't make you a promise about tomorrow because I don't have a promise of tomorrow. But the Lord willing, I'll be there, or the Lord willing, I'll do that, or the Lord willing, we can take care of that. But we don't have a promise of tomorrow. And in the book of James here, what James was saying, listen, if you think that you can make plans and that your plans are going to run by your course, you're arrogant. That was the word he used. You're arrogant. Because blessed are the flexible, for they are not as easily broken. And I'm going to tell you something, no matter what kind of priorities you set, and no matter how well you organize, and what was my other ones here? No matter how well you organize, no matter how flexible you are, and no matter how well you plan, hey, let's just get it in our heads. Stuff's going to happen. Things are going to change. The world is continuing to spin. As much as I hate it, and I think the world would be better off if I was in control, I'm not in control of the world.
Thank God.
I think it might be better off if I was, but I'm not in control. And things are going to, you know what? And let me tell you all something right here. Let me just state this real quick. These are not lessons I have learned. These are lessons I am learning. Last Monday morning, I get up, drive down to Atlanta. I have to be in Atlanta by 1 o'clock. Okay? I need to run by and drop off the deposit. I need to go to the bank and make another deposit. I need to go by the post office, and then I need to get on 85 and I need to put it in the wind. I come out with about 30 minutes of playing time, even with all those little errands that I need to run. I was an hour late getting to Georgia. I was an hour late for my meeting. I had a flat tire. Now, there are a few things in this world I hate worse than a flat tire. But by the time I wobbled down to the tire store, which had been open like an hour and a half, and so all of those people who were on time were now ahead of me, and of course none of them had anywhere to be that was more important than me. Now, I was the only person there with that opinion, but in my opinion, there was nobody there who had any place any more important to be than I had to be. I get down there and the guy tells me, yeah, we can get to you in about an hour. Then I'm like, I ain't done an hour. But you know what? How many of you know that having a flat tire is outside of my control? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Just a few years back, I'd have been like a Super Bowl inside that store. I'd have been bouncing around, up and down, off of every wall like a cat on a hot tin roof, fretting myself over how much longer, and how many of you know that wouldn't speed things up a bit? But how many of you know many of you are just like that? But I want to reiterate here, I haven't totally learned. So I'm outside in the parking lot. Not bouncing around, but I am talking to myself. Lots of days it's the only intelligent conversation I have. Ooh. I'm telling myself, you need to calm down. You need to make a decision and go ahead and get comfortable with it. You're going to be late. Now, what's happening behind you is outside of your control. What's happening, what is happening in front of you that's inside of your control? Well, I can call a couple of the guys, tell them I'm going to be an hour late, tell them to call some of the other guys, and tell them to move the meeting from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. That's inside of my control. What's happening behind me is outside my control. But what can, in this tailspin that I'm feeling on the inside, what do I really have control over? Because what I don't have control over, I'm talking to myself and saying, you don't have any control over that. So don't let that bother you. There's not anything you can do anything about. Let it go. By the time the guy gave me my keys back, an hour and 15 minutes later, I got in the car, drove to Atlanta like I always drive, because he said to me going out the door, don't speed. And I didn't. I drove to Atlanta like I always drive to Atlanta. I got there an hour late. We had our meeting, and guess what? The world kept spinning. To my amazement, the world kept spinning. Because there are times, ladies and gentlemen, where we just have to learn to be flexible. I want to say, let me look at my... That's exactly the point I want to end on, is that point. Because most of the time, when opportunities for flexibility are given to me, let me say, given to us, it's actually a God-anointed, appointed appointment. And we miss meeting God because we're frustrated with how things are. So what is the best use of our time? The best use of our time is in verse 14, simply worship in holy fear. I put the amplified part of it on your outline. I got it. I know that whatever God does, it endures forever. Nothing can be added to it nor taken away from it. And God does this. God keeps us in this holy flexibility so that men will reverently fear Him, revere and worship Him, knowing that He is. Because you see, what allowed me to be calm in that parking lot was I said, God, this flat tire took me by surprise, but I am grateful to know it didn't take you by surprise. That when I woke up this morning, you knew my tire was flat. Wished you'd have told me, but you knew my tire was flat. At least you were kind enough to let me find out. How many of you know He was kind enough for me not to be on the interstate doing 75 miles an hour and a tire go flat? See? God's graciousness and His mercy being shown to us. But instead of recognizing that, we get all I get all flustered and get my face all red and I'm stomping around going, doesn't the world know how important I am? Obviously that tire didn't know. And those people sitting in there who were in line in front of me, they obviously don't know. And obviously God didn't know either, and He had a little piece of information He wanted to impart to me, so He let me know. This is not going to kill you. I thought it was. You're going to be all right. I'm still in control. I'm still God. God keeps us sometimes, Solomon said, in the dark about what it is He's doing, so that we will simply worship Him in holy fear. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in conclusion, this is what I want to tell you. The best use of our time is worship. The best use of our time is worship. Because in worship, we bring God from where there is no time into where there is time. We bring Him into our world where two or three are gathered together in my name. And that two can be you and the Holy Spirit. Just because you can't see Him doesn't mean He's not a person. Amen. to that statement right there.
Just because you can't see him doesn't mean he's not a person. You and the Holy Spirit can bring in the very presence of God from where there is no time to where there is time. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. The best management of our time, the best use of our time is to worship. And in those God-inspired appointments where we need to learn to be a little more flexible, because how many of you know that if you miss the lesson the first time, all you've done is destined yourself to have to learn the lesson the second time? So why is it we didn't have time to learn the lesson the first time and we're going to have to learn the lesson at another time? Yes, ma'am? Mm-hmm. That it is, whatsoever your hand finds to do, you do that as unto the Lord. Which is why I say to you all, for every one of us that have a job, we need to be the best employee our boss has. Because you are a reflection of Christ to that person you work for. So in conclusion, I don't know how lost I am. I have no idea how desperate I am. And I do not know what time it is. I don't know if I'm going to die on the way home today. And then I know there are people who go, don't talk like that, that's so morbid. You'll never learn to live until you've dealt with the death question. Till you've learned to die, you're never going to start living. That's been preached here for 40 years. I might not make it through the day today. I might not make it back here next Sunday. I don't know what my appointed time is. I don't know how much time I've got. What I do know is this, is that God gives me the privilege of either wasting it or investing it. Wasting it or investing it. And now then the choice is mine. Lord, we come to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, grateful to you that although we may at many times see time as our enemy, that time is actually our friend. Now, Lord, we ask you to help us to learn how to invest it wisely, that it would bear much fruit, and that the Jesus that we love would receive the reward for which he died on Calvary's cross. We give you honor and glory today in our lives and in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you.